We're still in the Easter season. It ends next Thursday with the Ascension of our Savior, which we celebrate. And that's very important, that even though the Easter season ends, the resurrection of our Savior needs to be in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Not only every day of our life this coming year, but throughout our life. Because we celebrate and worship not a dead Savior who's in some tomb in Jerusalem somewhere, but a risen and ever-living Savior who says to us, because I live, you will live also. A risen Savior who says that he rose from the dead to prove that he said about himself is true. He's the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And a risen, ever-living Savior whom God the Father raised from the dead to assure us that he accepted his Son's sacrifice as full payment for your sins and mine. And so this morning, we have a text again about the resurrection from Acts chapter 13, verses 30 to 33. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. In Christ Jesus, whose death and resurrection is the heart and core of all that we teach and preach, dear fellow students of the Word, the conversion of the Apostle Paul from the persecutor Saul to the Apostle is something that we know very well. The Lord said that Paul would be a chosen vessel of his, that he would use to proclaim his name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. This morning's text, which I just read, is a portion of Paul's first recorded sermon in Antioch of Pisidia at the beginning of his first missionary journey. Paul was invited by the Jewish ruler of the synagogue to come and speak to the Jewish people. What a tremendous opportunity. What would he say? What would he tell his Jewish friends? No question. He'd talk about Christ crucified and risen again, emphasizing especially the resurrection. In the first portion of his sermon, Paul goes back to the time of Moses, when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, and how Moses led them out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, the 40 years of wandering. Then he talked about the judges and King Saul and King David. And when we got to King David, he said this: from this man's seed, David, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. And then in his sermon, Paul showed to these Jewish people how God's gracious plan of salvation was secured by these evil people who took Jesus and put him to death, even though, quote, they found no cause for death in him. Sinful people killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. As you said, God the Father raised Jesus to assure us that his sacrifice was full and complete for all of our sins. And also Jesus says, I rose so that you will rise. There's no doubt about it. This afternoon in Messiah, we're having a memorial victory service for Tom Hyen. You don't probably know him, but he knew that his death was inevitable. But beautifully, he also knew that his resurrection is also inevitable. This is now the seventh time in the book of Acts that the resurrection is mentioned, and mentioned also that these disciples were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. That was the focal point of their New Testament teaching. Jesus died, but he rose again. Jesus' resurrection is mentioned over 200 times in the New Testament. It was the heart of the early church's teaching and preaching and evangelism efforts. Jesus died, but rose again. When Paul gave this sermon, it was 15 years since Jesus had died and risen again. Most of the Jewish people rejected Jesus, didn't believe in him as the promised Messiah. That's why Paul is so eager to be able to speak to them at the synagogue and say, he's the prophet, the Messiah of the Old Testament. It's all right here in our books, the Psalms, the prophets, the books of Moses. Believe it. It's here in our Testament. It's what we teach and what we preach. The empty tomb gives us that assurance as well that Jesus is our Savior. You know, he dies for us, he lives for us. Every day he watches over us, guides us, protects us, provides for us every day of our lives. I read two interesting devotions in the past few weeks, which I'm going to close with. First is called What to Do About Easter. The second is When Silence is Not an Option. Quote from the first devotion. We recently celebrated Easter. We heard the angel's words to the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He has risen. But now what? What are we going to do with Easter? Some quickly forget it. It never enters their mind until Easter comes again the following year. Others fondly think of it as a nice story, something along the line of a favorite fairy tale with a message of springtime hope. Then there are those who may take it more seriously and consider the resurrection a historical event, but one which does not have any relevance for their life today. So what are we to do with Easter? Believe it. Thank God for giving you the faith to believe through the Spirit's power in the Word. Faith doesn't just believe that Easter happened. It believes that Jesus rose for you and for me. And because he lives, you will rise and live forever. That faith makes all the difference when it comes to our eternal future. It makes all the difference for today. By faith, we have the peace of knowing that as we begin another day, all is well between us and God. We are his children in Christ. By faith, we have the confidence that no matter how many troubles or difficulties or trials this day brings, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. By faith, regardless of how mundane the day may be, or I might say today, how exciting it may be with all your field activities, we have a worthwhile purpose in our life. We are witnesses of Christ's resurrection to our family, our friends, and all around us. Believe it. And then one quote from the second devotion, When Silence is Not an Option, one small paragraph. Who can keep quiet about what God has done? The prophet Jeremiah couldn't. He wrote, But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Peter and John could not. After being commanded by the authorities to never again speak in the name of Jesus, they said, We cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. The Apostle Paul wrote, It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. End of the devotion. So, for us too, silence is not an option. There's no way we can keep silent. There's no way we can keep quiet about the greatest news ever told to sinners. The news that saves souls. Christ crucified and risen again. Who can we share that news with today? Amen. We'll sing hymn 205, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you. Christ, O Lord Jesus.